Well, it's been an extraordinary week. Pray it's been so in the life of your family and here at Briarwood Church. It's certainly brought a lot of joy to my heart to meet with our missionaries. You see, it's a pretty intimidating thing to be the new missions pastor when the former missions pastor is quite a legend. And we thank the Lord for Reverend Sheely and those who've gone before. But they brought on all the missionaries. We have over 300 missionaries, 322 missionaries, in fact. And as the new missions pastor, I only know about 45 to 50 of our missionaries. So this missions conference was phenomenal for me because I got to meet 30 more missionaries. So I praise the Lord for that. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it's true, that it's reliable, that it's useful to teach, to train, to correct, to rebuke, to instruct, and to cheer our hearts. Pray that your word would do that tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our theme this week has been Revive the Nations. It's really much more than a theme. It's a prayer. It's a prayer of our church. This year, our entire church has entered the theme, Revive Us Again, O Lord. Revive us. Pastor Reeder has opened the word and shared with us that revival must start with the church. God's children. Those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's where revival starts. And from starting with us as the church, it's our prayer that God would use us to go out, to be sent ones out, to revive the nations. As he does this work of reviving the nations, I wanted to draw our attention tonight to three particular ways that God, in fact, revives the nations. But before I do that, I'd like to just share with you our theme verse out of Malachi chapter 1. If you have your copies of God's Word and would like to open them now, Malachi 1 verse 11. I'll give you a moment to turn there. The scripture says, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or you bring what is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet does not sacrifice to the Lord, but only what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations." You see, the Lord is very protective of his name. He's a great king with a great name. And in this passage, it indicates that the worship of God's people had shifted so significantly that the way in which the priests and the children of God were bringing their offerings and bringing their worship to God, it was less than half-hearted. They were bringing the bad offerings. They were bringing those offerings that had been stolen from someone else that they didn't even do anything for. It wasn't costing them anything. In fact, they weren't even bringing offerings that were prescribed as a holy offering that the Lord had instituted. They were bringing the lame sheep as offerings. They were bringing the ones that were not pure. They were not bringing the male, the firstborn. They were bringing a beleaguered offering, a troubled offering, an offering that didn't cost them very much, or that they were happy to sort of get rid of. And this is a great concern to God. Because what's at stake when our worship does not exalt the holy Lord of hosts? What's at stake is His name. And He's jealous for His name. Because His name is representative of who He is. And it's an indication that the people of God had forgotten the holiness of God. They had forgotten His exalted status as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May it not be so at Briarwood Church. May we be gripped by the name of God. May the name of God be something that you want to honor and cherish in your own hearts. May you set apart Christ in your own heart as Lord, as holy, as honorable. And may His name cause you to reflect on your own life. See, the Israelites, some 500 years before Christ, had wandered. Yes, they were coming to church. Yes, they were in the synagogues. Yes, they were going about the motions. But their motions indicated a desperate need for revival in their hearts. Because God's name was not being magnified by their half-hearted worship. May it never be so for us. May the name of God mean more to us at Briarwood than that. I want to, tonight in the message, highlight three aspects of how we might exalt the name of God and rightfully worship Him through our worship. Through three C's that I'd like to point out right now for you. God's plan for reviving the nations is evident in these three C's. The first is communion. We'll celebrate it tonight. The Lord's Supper. At great cost and sacrifice, He laid down His life as the great shepherd of the flock. He gave Himself willingly. His love compelled Him. His obedience to the Father drove Him to the cross. That's why we have the bread and the wine that we'll partake together as the family of God. Because the body of Christ, it was broken for you and for the sins of the world. And the wine represents the shed blood when Jesus hung on that cross and He cried out. And then He gave up with that last word. He gave up His spirit and He hung and He died and He bled. That's represented tonight in the wine that we'll take in fellowship. You see, revival cost Jesus something significant. And we represent that tonight in communion. What a great meal that God would gather the family together. This is a worshiping community here at Briarwood Church. And He's gathering us together. May revival start because we're going to remember that great sacrifice that Jesus did on our behalf. May revival begin in our hearts tonight as you take those elements and you feed on Him in your heart with thanksgiving. May that cause the name of God to be magnified through communion. The second C that I'd like to point out is commission. Of course, we know it as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. The commission of Christ causes us to need revival and to experience revival, because we cannot go out in our own strength. In John 15, Jesus teaches that apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. You see, the Great Commission was given to us not just as a raw command from Jesus, but He also empowered us through His Spirit, because He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And He gave His Spirit to us, to the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission, to see the Great Commission done. Because God is empowering His church. This is where revival begins. When God's Spirit is in you and He sends you out to make disciples, to teach them to obey all that He has commanded, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." The commission of Christ is a starting point for us to take the message of hope to the nations. We've had 30 missionaries with us in just a few hours. Some have already departed, and some will depart in a few more hours or even in the coming days. It's hard to say goodbye to ones that you love, the ones that you've built relationship with. There's a sense of loss, but also a sense of joy as we're sending them out with this great commission. And we're so thankful that we have this opportunity. But I would be lying if I didn't say that there's a part of my heart that hurts to be able to say goodbye and recognize that this season for this week is over. But you go, missionaries, with our love and support of this church. You're commissioned by the power of the Holy Spirit to be sent out to the nations. May it serve as a reminder to you of revival. May that those who stood at the front of the church and watched those members give their faith promise offerings, may that serve as fuel to remind you that you are sent out, your Briarwood sent ones, to the nations. May that cause you, as our sent ones, to be revived and encouraged. The final C that I'd like to point out tonight for revival is one that we're eagerly awaiting for. And it will happen as certain as I am speaking to you right now. This day will come. And the sea is the consummation of the age, the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming back again. What He's left for us in the Gospel of Matthew is clear, that just as we're saying goodbye to our missionaries now, and our hearts are stirred with those mixed emotions of saying goodbye, Jesus had that same experience as He was leading up to the day of the cross. And Matthew outlines it in his gospel in chapters 24 all the way to 28 with the Great Commission. And I would like to just take a moment and read some of the chapter headings that indicate what was on the heart and mind of Christ in this lead up to His departure and to ultimately to the cross that we'll celebrate in the Lord's Supper tonight. Let me just read to you some of the chapter headings from Matthew 24 to 28. And they are as follows. Chapter 24, signs of the end of the age. The coming of the Son of Man. The day and hour are unknown. The parable of the 10 virgins, which teaches us as the church to watch and be prepared. The parable of the talents, which teaches us to invest to please our Master. The final judgment, which talks about when the Son of Man will come in glory with all of the heavenly hosts, all of the angels, and He'll return back. He'll come back again. Other chapter headings: the plot to kill Jesus. Jesus anointed at Bethany by the woman, and what His words to her was when the disciples rebuked her for pouring out such an expensive perfume. Jesus said to them, she is doing a beautiful thing because she's preparing me for burial. Another chapter heading, Judas betrays Jesus. The Passover celebration with the disciples. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. The betrayal and arrest of Jesus. Jesus taken before Caiaphas and the council. Peter denies Jesus. Jesus is delivered under Pilate. Judas hangs himself. The crowd chooses Barabbas over Jesus. Pilate delivers Jesus under crucifixion. Jesus is mocked. The crucifixion, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the guard at the tomb, the resurrection. Praise the Lord that he conquered death and he rose from the grave. And then the report of the guard. And then the Great Commission. These are the chapter headings of the last teachings and the last story of when Jesus was with his disciples. They clearly are important for us to get us ready to understand the marching orders that we would have. And even when Jesus was resurrected and he gave the Great Commission to the church, to the disciples, this is what brings revival. Reflecting and remembering on what Jesus has accomplished, on what Jesus has done for me and for you. This brings revival so that the name of God would be magnified. May it always be so at this church. May we testify and be prepared for the coming of Christ. Folks, this is not a false myth. He's coming back. Will we be ready? The scripture challenges us in Matthew 25 that there'll be many who aren't prepared. May it not be so of us at Briarwood. May he find us serving him faithfully, praying diligently, giving sacrificially, cheerfully giving and going and serving and praying. May this be the testimony of Briarwood Church and of our own hearts. May God truly revive the nations. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word. Lord, may you magnify your name. God, I pray that you would bring repentance to our hearts if the name of Jesus has been lowered in our esteem of it in our worship. May we not bring half-hearted offerings to you. Lord Jesus, may we worship you as your name requires. The Lord of hosts, the King of kings. May you truly be exalted and elevated. May the name of God matter in our speech, in our actions, in our behaviors. May the name of God be magnified among the nations. Revive the nations, O Lord Jesus, in Christ's name. Amen.